Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight, we're going to be discussing how your work will be rewarded. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening, God. I praise you. I magnify you. I lift you up, God. You are greatly to be praised. There is no other like you in heaven or earth or under the earth, God. Father, I thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, God, so that you sent so that we could be delivered from the bondage of sin. I thank you for how you paid for all of our sins with the perfect blood of your son, Jesus Christ. I thank you for how you paid for our physical wholeness and deliverance from mental and emotional anguish with the broken body of your son, Jesus Christ. God, I thank you for how you sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within each and every one of us after you raised your son, Jesus Christ, from the dead and seated him at your right hand and gave him all power in heaven and earth and under the earth. And I thank you for how he is putting all enemies under his feet so that in that great day, he can deliver a complete and finished work to you. Father, I thank you for how he is coming again with his reward in his hand for those of us who are doing the work that you've commissioned us to do to reconcile the world back to you. God, we thank you. We call upon all of the power that you place within us to show us what we need to know in your word so that we can walk in abundance and we can walk in peace and we can walk in power and we can walk in praise and we can walk in purpose. I thank you for this right now in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to listen to the song of praise by Jason Nelson, Shifting the Atmosphere.
Every chain is broken.
Somebody just help me sing that.
It's moving and it's breaking. My brain is shooting me at the
speed.
Every oak will be destroyed.
I believe it.
Every chain is broken. This worship is shifting the atmosphere.
Help me say it.
It's moving and it's breaking. Our praise is shifting the atmosphere. It's moving and it's breaking.
Whenever things don't feel like you think they should, don't get mad. Don't cuss nobody out. Don't hang up the phone. Worship. If you could just get you out of the way enough to lift your hands and say, God, I need you right here.
You'll be shifting the atmosphere.
Cried myself to sleep. Don't know where my son is. He's been gone for 3 days. I may call the police. Yeah. But before I do, I'm going to lift my hands. Because in my worship, they'll find him alive and well.
And you'll be shifting the atmosphere.
Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. They tell me just take this medication and that gives me another problem. And they say, take this, that, and that gives me another problem. But the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I lift my hands.
And I'll be shifting the atmosphere. Breakthrough and healing. Our worship is shifting. Shifting. Shifting the atmosphere.
Welcome back to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're going to be discussing that how your work will be rewarded. And we're going to be discussing this because work is its own reward, according to the scripture. And when we understand the things that we do for God will last, will affect the way that we do what we do for God. When we understand that God is as serious and excited about giving us our reward as we should be about receiving our reward, then we will be super motivated to do the work that God gives us to do. Now, This work is many times very challenging because we're going up against the forces of evil in the earth. And so you need to know who you are in Christ. You need to know whose you are in Christ, and to be secure in your position so that you can boldly go into whatever situation God sends you into. I'm going to read a little bit tonight at the beginning of the teaching about a king of Israel who did incredible work for God. And we're going to read about the impact that he had on God's people. And what's important about this is to understand that Israel had many kings, but many of their kings were wicked. And then you had some kings like Asa here who were just. And we are going to read about Asa because he is a king who reformed Israel after Israel was in a serious time of disobedience against God. So I want to look at the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 15. And afterward, we're going to get into a deeper study about how work is its own reward and how your work for God will be rewarded. I want to look at 2 Chronicles chapter 15. We're going to be looking here. I'm going to read the chapter, and I want you to listen to what God did with King Asa as he reformed Israel, who was led astray and led to worship idols. It says in verse 1 of 2 Chronicles chapter 15, "Now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, 'Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time, Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. But when in their trouble they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found by them. And in those times there was no peace to the one who went in, who went out, nor the one who came in. But great turmoil was on all the inhabitants of the lands. So nation was destroyed by nation and city by city. For God troubled them with every adversity. But you, be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded.'" I want to stop right there for a minute, because God is telling his people that if you are seeking me, you will find me. He tells them also, if you forsake me, then I will forsake you. And he speaks of this time when they were without God for so long and how it caused nation to go against nation and city against city because of God's trouble that he brought upon them, the adversity that God brought upon them. But now he's speaking to Asa, Judah, and Benjamin through the prophet Azariah, upon whom the Spirit of God came. See, the Holy Spirit dwells within us now that Jesus Christ has paid the price with his death, burial, and resurrection for our physical wholeness, but back then, or spiritual wholeness rather. But back then, the Spirit of God could only be upon an individual for a specific purpose. And we see here in verse 1 that the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed, to prophesy and speak to King Asa and to all Judah and to Benjamin. And so he spoke to them. And he spoke this incredible prophecy. And at the end of this prophecy, he says, "But you, be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." Now, I'm going to continue to read the rest of this chapter so you can see what God has to say about this work that he's telling them to be strong and not let their hands be weak so that they can receive their reward. Verse 8 says, and when Asa heard these words of the prophet and the prophecy of Obed, the prophet, he took courage and removed the abominable idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin and from their cities, which he had taken in the mountains of Ephraim. And he restored the altar of the Lord that was before the vestibule of the Lord. Then he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and those who dwelt with them from Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon. For they came over to him in great numbers from Israel when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. See, you see how the response to God's word was action. And King Asa, after he heard the words of the prophecy, he took courage and he acted. He removed the abominable idols from the land. And this was the source of their trouble in the first place. And so now we're in this situation where he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and those that dwelt in Ephraim and Manasseh and Simeon. And he brought them all together. He gathered to them after they saw that the Lord God was with him. See, leadership is the product of first listening to God and then acting and doing what God has given you to do. And then it will be apparent that God is with you and that you should be strong and not let your hands be weak, because you know you will be rewarded. See, God is faithful. Look at what it says in verse 10. It says, so they gathered together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered to the Lord at that time 700 bulls and 7,000 sheep from the spoil that they had brought. Then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. And whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel was put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. Then they took an oath before the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting and trumpets and ram's horns. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart, and they sought him with all their soul. And he was found by them, and the Lord gave them rest all around. See, God responded to his people when they responded to him. When they listened to the word of God and drew near to God, God drew near to them. And this is a powerful thing, because after they responded to God, he was found by them. They found God's favor, and the Lord gave his people rest all around after this period where nation had been destroying nation and city had been destroying city because of the adversity that God brought upon them. Then this word comes from the Lord. And see, the word of the Lord always has its desired impact, its desired effect. Whatever God plans to have occur as the result of his word going forth, it is going to happen. And so it says that after they gathered together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of King Asa, they offered up the sacrifice to the Lord. Just imagine 700 bulls. Imagine the volume of a sacrifice like that. Imagine 7,000 sheep. Imagine a sacrifice like that being offered up at one time. That's a lot of blood. It's a pretty bloody affair, right? And then they entered into a covenant. Now, it's interesting because we think of this, the New Testament and the Old Testament. And one is actually, the word testament is actually more of something that is associated with death or will, the last will and testament of. But the idea of covenant is often associated with life. And this says that they entered into a covenant with God, a time of renewal. See, covenant is always something associated with life. And the New Testament really should be called the New Covenant, because it is what we have entered into through the death, burial, and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ. The Old Testament was that covenant that was broken by Adam that led sin to dominate mankind and restored the reign, or actually placed the reign of the earth in the hands of the devil. And that is the old covenant, the Old Testament of disobedience and sin. But look at what happens here. After God's people had turned away and served idols, and then this king rises up and listens to the words of the prophecy of Obed the prophet, and he takes courage and he removes the abominable idols from the land of Judah and Benjamin and from the cities which he had taken in the mountains of Ephraim. And then he restores the altar of the Lord that was before the vestibule of the Lord. This is powerful. This is action. And now God is rewarding this work. He is blessing the work of all that King Asa put his hands to do. So now, look what it says in verse 10. It says, so they gathered together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year, and they offered to the Lord this huge sacrifice. All of these 700 bulls, 7,000 sheep. Once again, very bloody affair, right? But then it says they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. And then it says, whoever did not seek the Lord God of Israel was put to death. That's a pretty serious affair there. And it didn't matter whether you were noble, whether you were a slave, whether you were small, whether you were great, whether you were a man or whether you were a woman. Then they took an oath before the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting and trumpets and ram's horns. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with all their soul, and he was found by them, and the Lord gave them rest all around. So what you see here is the reward of the Lord to his people seeking him and committing themselves to him. And now he gives them rest after a period where the whole world was just besieged by the adversity that God had brought against them because his people were worshiping these idols. See, you understand that the blessings of God's people are supposed to overflow into those people who are not yet God's people. You understand we're supposed to be praying for our enemies' salvation right now. We're supposed to be praying for them now. That is a very tall order, but he's given us the power and ability to do that. The power and ability to make that happen so that God can get much glory out of us being obedient to him and praying for those who spitefully use us, loving those who hate us, doing good to those who persecute us. And see, we have to get serious about what we're doing for God, because this is not a joke. This is serious business. God is seriously intent on rewarding us for our good work when we obey him. And so I can tell you that praying for your enemies is not easy. But when you pray for your enemies in obedience to God, and you don't just pray for them, this is another example of translation, right? Where we talk about the New Testament versus the New Covenant of life, right? Versus a testament of death. We're talking about a New Covenant. Well, when we talk about these things that are associated with obedience to God, when he tells us to pray for our enemies, he's not just saying pray for your enemies. He's saying pray for your enemy's salvation. He's literally saying, pray that your enemy becomes your brother in Christ, just as the Apostle Paul, when he was Saul, was an enemy of the early Christians. And he was converted. Jesus Christ met him and blinded him for 3 days and three nights. And he was converted. And he became one of the foremost apostles to both the Jews and the Gentiles. So look at what it says here in 2 Chronicles 15, verse 16. It says, also he removed Maacah, the mother of Asa, the king, from being queen mother because she had made an obscene image of Asherah. That was an idol of theirs. And Asa cut down her obscene image, then crushed and burned it by the crook Kidron. But the high places were not removed from Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was loyal all his days. He also brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated and that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and utensils. And there was no war until the 35th year of the reign of King Asa. So that's fascinating because he ushered his people into a period of peace that was longer than the 15 years that he reigned when they were under trouble and despair and war. And once again, the word of the prophet that came to Asa that started all of this ended with the prophet telling him, be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And that is my message to you tonight. Be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. The things that God has to say about work in his word are very serious, and they start out with speaking of how he was at work in the book of Genesis. Look at what it says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 3. It says, and God blessed the seventh day and made it whole, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. See, God accomplished so much in 6 days that on the seventh day he rested from his work and he made that seventh day holy. So we know the first day of the week is Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Saturday is that seventh day of the week that we are supposed to be resting. And it says God made it holy. We have to allow ourselves to follow the example of our Lord when we work. God says, if I find you hot or cold, and you're not hot or cold, I'll spew you out of my mouth. We are to be at rest or we are to be at work, but we're not supposed to be just floating around. And see, when you're at rest, when you're at peace, you can hear God and you can receive direction. And when you receive direction during that time of rest, that's why it's a good thing to acknowledge the seventh day of the week as being holy and rest from all work, just as God did, so that you can hear from God, so that when it's time to get to work on the first day of the week, you can get to work. Look what it says here in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 12. It says, the Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. See, you're not doing this alone. Your work is not something that you do without God, because see, while you're doing your work, your enemies are always trying to stop you from doing your work, because see, you're getting glory for God. There are people who resent the fact that you're doing what you're doing anyway, because they see God getting glory out of it, and you're not endorsed by them. You're not playing by their rules. You're not on their payroll. They can't stand the fact that you are giving glory to God. So God tells you, be strong and do not give up. for your work will be rewarded. That's God's word to you. Look at what it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verse 21. It says, in everything that he undertook in the service of God's temple and in obedience to the law and the commands, he sought his God and worked wholeheartedly, and so he prospered. See, when you seek God and you work wholeheartedly and you are acknowledging the law and commands of God, it said he prospered. And if you want to prosper, you want to work wholeheartedly, you want to seek God, you want to acknowledge God's law and God's commands, God's word, and obedience. And so God wants to bless what you do. He wants to get glory out of you obeying him, out of you trusting him, out of you serving him, out of you pleasing him. And so when you do that intentionally, God says you shall be rewarded for your work, your good work. And this is so important because so many of us, we don't know what the work is, but Jesus Christ makes it very plain here. And this is interesting here. First, I want to read what Jesus Christ says in John chapter 4, verse 34, when he talks about his food. In John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus Christ says, my food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Now, we got to believe what Jesus Christ says about himself, right? Jesus Christ said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. See, this is so important because if you don't understand Jesus Christ as the Son of God, then you won't understand how Jesus Christ was sent from the bosom of God to dwell with us, to be born of a virgin, to live, to have his ministry of 3.5 years, to be rode into the holy city on the back of a donkey's colt, and to then be crucified during the course of the same week and be laid dead in a stone tomb after being beat 3 times, nailed to a cross, stabbed in the side with a spear, and then laid in a stone tomb for 3 days and 3 nights dead until God raised him from the dead and he took up his life. And see, look at what it says here. Jesus Christ said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Now, this is important to understand because, see, we know God sent Jesus Christ. God sent the Holy Spirit. But see, God is never sent anywhere because God is already everywhere. It's one of the qualities of God that makes God God. God is spirit. God is truth. God is omnipresent. That means he's present everywhere. God is omnipotent. That means he is all-powerful. God is omniscient. That means he is all-knowing. These are the three qualities that make God God. But when Jesus Christ says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me, his heavenly Father, God Almighty, and to finish his work. Now, what we're going to see is, what does that work look like? Go to John chapter 6, verse 28 and 29. In John chapter 6, verse 28 and 29, Jesus Christ speaks again. He says, then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. See, there's that word sent again. John 6, 28 and 29. Then they said to him, speaking to Jesus, what must we do to do the works God requires? And Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So the work of God is to believe in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son that he sent, so that whosoever would believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the deal right there. The work of God is to believe in Jesus Christ that God sent. That's it. And for those who were asking him, I'm sure that's not the answer they were looking for because they want something to do. They want something to check off of their list that allows them to say, okay, well, I did what he asked me to do. But see, when God's asking us to believe, that level of obedience is sacrificial at best. See, when we pray for our enemies to be saved, we're praying for them to be our brethren. That's a hard thing because that means you got to forgive. And you got to forgive the way God forgave you. He forgave you of everything. So now you have to be prepared to forgive your enemies of everything. And that is the level of obedience and sacrifice God is calling for. But see, when you believe, you're prepared to do that because you know that your work will be rewarded. Your obedience will be rewarded. When you cut down the idols in your life and you obey God, your work will be rewarded. Look at what it says in the Gospel of John chapter 17, verses 4 and 5. It says, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. This is Jesus Christ speaking to his heavenly Father, God Almighty. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. That is powerful. See, John chapter 17, verses 4 and 5 shows us Jesus Christ speaking to God, praying to God, and saying, I brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And so what was his work? He said his food was to do the will of him who sent me to finish his work. And after he finished his work, he said in John 17, verses 4 to 5, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. See, this is how we know that Jesus Christ was in the bosom of his heavenly Father, God Almighty, before the world began. Because he asked him in verse 17 to restore him to the glory that he had in his presence before the world began. That's his prayer to God. And our prayer should be that we have the desire to do the work of God by believing in his son, Jesus Christ, whom he sent so that we could live a more than abundant life, whom he sent so that we could have the power of the Holy Spirit within us, whom he sent so that we could be physically restored, mentally restored, emotionally restored, and live a more than abundant life so that we can forgive the way that he has forgiven us in all things because of the perfect blood of his son, Jesus Christ, that was shed for us. See, and all we have to do is believe in the one that God sent to make that happen, the one that God trusted before the one that God trusted to get the job done, and he did, his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. Look what it says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 11. It says, even a child is known by his actions, by whether his conduct is pure and right. So if your work is pure and right, you'll be rewarded. God is not going to be unjust and overlook your good work. Your good work is why the power of the Holy Spirit resides within you, to allow you to do what God has empowered you to do, what God has authorized you to do, what God has equipped you to do. See, his word gives us a very clear, specific outline of what it is we need to do so that our believing can be translated into action. And that's so important, so that we can renew our mind to the word of God and we can manifest and do what we know the word tells us to do. it says that charity is the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation. We are doing what we know in the word, and we are subjecting ourselves. We're humbling ourselves. We're saying, not my will, but thy will be done, O God. Look at what it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. It says, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And see, that's what you have to understand. What you're doing for God is not for any reward at all. It's for, not for no reward. Jesus Christ says in Revelation, he is coming with his reward in his hand. We have to be excited about that, as excited as he is. He was excited enough to tell us he's coming with his reward in his hand. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10 says, and we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. See, that's the whole point. Living a life worthy of the Lord, pleasing him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. See, the fruit that you're bearing is love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control. In every good work, as you grow in the knowledge of God, see, you don't just all of a sudden know everything. You grow in the knowledge of God as you study God's word, as you pray, as you fast, as you pray in the spirit, as you sing in the spirit, as you fellowship with like-minded believers, as you study God's word. And see, you have to get to the point where your relationship with God becomes a priority to you, and you grow in the knowledge of God. And that's the other way you grow in the knowledge of God, is by walking out on his word, testing his word, proving his word in your life, so that you can testify firsthand of what God does in your life. You can testify firsthand of the signs, miracles, and wonders he performs in the earth through you. That's what this is about. You're going to see a whole lot of people running away from what they thought was the church, because they're going to find out that what they thought was the church isn't the church at all. They are the church. God dwells within you. And you have to allow God to get heaven out of you into the world, so that people can come to God through his son Jesus Christ as a result of you introducing them to the death, burial, and resurrection of his son Jesus Christ. See, God is trying to get heaven out of you. He's not trying to get you into heaven. That was done 2,000 years ago when he raised his son Jesus Christ from the dead after being dead in a stone tomb for 3 days and three nights, and he seated him at his right hand, gave him all power in heaven and earth and under the earth, and then sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within you. That work was finished all the way back then. You were in heaven. Now, God is trying to get heaven out of you, now that you've made Jesus Christ, the Son of God, your master, your Lord. Look at what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. It says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. See, that is so important. We have to be ambitious to be quiet, ambitious to lead a quiet life. And I'll tell you, that's the opposite of what we do when we're in the world. When we're in the world, we want to jump up and down and say, pick me, pick me. Everybody to know our name. And God says we ought to be ambitious to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business and work with your own hands. That doesn't mean we don't help other people. That doesn't mean that the people that God brings to us, we don't introduce to his son, Jesus Christ. But we're not trying to make a whole lot of noise. If you noticed, the places where power and money exist are quiet places. If you ever go into a serious business, it is a quiet place. When you see professionals doing their work, it is a quiet place. They are studying in order to perform their work and solve serious problems. And places that are profitable are quiet places so that people can mind their own business and focus on the work that they do with their hands. And it says, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and so that you will not be dependent upon anybody. And that's so important. Look what it says here in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 10 to 11. It says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. See, that's what we read about earlier tonight in 2 Corinthians chapter 15 about King Asa, how God was not unjust to forget his work. God blessed his people and the king with peace during those years, with rest during those years, after a previous period that was devastating. And God told them, hey, you know what? Be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And see, he brought those words by the prophet at a time when it didn't exactly look like that. But King Asa's obedience yielded great results that lasted for at least, it sounded like it was approximately 20 years from what I could tell from the text. But look at what it says here. It says in Hebrews 6, 10 and 11, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work, the love that you've shown him as you help his people and continue to help them. He's going to show you. We want each of you to know. We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. So each one of us are to trust God's faithfulness, that he is not an unjust God, and that he will not forget the love that we've shown him and the work that we have done, how we've helped his people and how we continue to help his people. See, for those of us who are diligently seeking those that God has called before the foundations of the world to dwell with him and he with them, we're going to receive a reward. And that's so important to understand, because God's whole plan is that he will dwell with his people and his people will dwell with him. And the devil, of course, has set himself against that plan. So everything he can do, he does to try to divide God from his people, separate God from his people. One of the ways he does this is with idolatry and by removing the word from God's people. And so there are times when the men of God have to reintroduce God's people to God's word so that they can know that they've always been on God's mind from the very beginning of all this. Look at what it says in Psalm 127:1. It says, unless the Lord build the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. So if God can't protect you, you can't be protected, and whatever you're doing and whatever you're building is a waste of time. That's what that says. Look what it says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23. All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. So we have to be workers and doers, not talkers, or we are going to dwell in poverty. So I want to leave you with this word this evening. Enter boldly into the new covenant that we have through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Make him your master. Your work will be rewarded. Remember that the work of God is to believe in the one that he sent, his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone forth tonight. I thank you for you having touched someone, having blessed someone, having strengthened someone, having encouraged someone to draw near to you, to submit to you, and to receive your great love for them. I thank you for this right now. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. And as always, from Spirit Alive Network, Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Be ye transformed.
Options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm altered out, hurt and abused. I can't pray what's left. I'm weak, no strength to fight, no tears to cry, even if I try, but still my soul refuses to die.
don't have much to bring. My heart's torn to pieces. It's my all.